Hey, y'all, and welcome back to the Sexual Healing Podcast, where we talk about things from the top of your head to the bottom of your crusty ass feet from our perspectives as black gay men in our 40s. So we are in the early stages of our local heat wave. You keeping cool over there, dark boy?
I'm cool. The air conditioning is on.
Let's not rub that in. I got the ghetto version over here, you know.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully the fan.
What, a t-shirt and a fan?
Yeah, the fan, you know. I'm about ready to drench this t-shirt, but you know. I'll save that for later. So, I don't know. So how are you doing this week?
I'm good. I had to laugh at myself a little bit because I think in our last episode, mm-hmm. when we were talking about, I think there's a part where we're talking about eating outside and eating amongst trees and stuff like that. I think I actually said that there was a place at work where I could eat some trees. I thought, why did I say that? I meant to say among the trees, but I think I said I would eat the trees. So I thought, I had to laugh. I'm like, you know, no big deal, but still funny.
Yeah, I think you did say that, and I just kind of said, well, I got what you meant. So yes. I just kind of rolled with it.
Just so people don't really think I'm really trying to go out there and eat some trees, but, you know.
Well, no, but I mean, when you talk about trees, that's also another code word for the weed.
Well, that's true.
For the marijuana, which we can now do over here legally for medicinal and recreational purposes. So, you know, hey. I was at a function yesterday where there were lots of things going on. There was lots of liquor flowing.
And trees.
I imagine there was a tree or two that may have been set ablaze. I did not participate. But I did get plenty of tequila. And hamburgers. So, you know, yeah. It was almost like being in a bar in the Manhattan Financial District, you know. It's all these bars down there. You can get like a burger and a beer for like $8, which is pretty good for Manhattan.
Yeah, that's cheap.
Yes, you know, it's like the guys that actually don't need it cheap, they got all these cheap options. But, you know, it's good for when folks come in from out of town and their hotel is in that area as well. They can go get a cheap little dinner, you know. The curious thing, though, they did not have very many French fries in a lot of those bars. It was weird. But okay. But that's my problem, I guess. I don't need them, but I wanted them. But alas.
Yeah. We just spent our day binging the episodes of Pose, which we both love. So.
Oh, good.
Very nice.
Yeah, I got to catch up to y'all because, like, my mom and I started watching the second episode, and then I said, no, I don't like to watch later episodes of anything. I want to see the first one. So I left her and I started watching it on my tablet, the first episode, but I never finished it. And then I saw, I don't know what was in episode 1 versus 2, but I'm still in episode 2 and 1. That's about how far I could describe it. But I do love the show, what I've seen thus far. The opening scene when they acquired their couture for the ball,
yes.
had me howling. I said, really? They have taken stunts to a whole new level.
And I bet Queens really did that. Went to a museum and just took whatever they could. They were at a museum.
Yeah, because, I mean, when I saw it, I said, well, wait a minute. All these folks are out of jail, so how did that happen? And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, okay, the museum doesn't want people to know it's that easy to walk in and take their shit. Okay.
Exactly.
I said, yeah. Well, lucky. But I would have to think that the museum shouldn't be that damn easy to rob. But okay. I mean, it was clothing.
I have a few. Yeah.
But, yeah, it was royal wear, though. So I don't know. Hey, crazy show. Looks really good. So I'm guessing I have good things to look forward to.
Yeah, I think so. I believe so. Well, we're totally caught up, so.
Okay.
I think you will like it.
I imagine I will. What I've seen, I have enjoyed. So, okay. Alrighty. Well, let's see. I guess, you know, in honor of last week's episode, I am attempting to practice a higher level of self-care. and also be a bit more fair, shall we say, in my assessments of my efforts. And so that's where I am with it. The struggle is real. It continues to be.
It is.
Yeah, it's just raggedy as all hell, but doing all right. Doing all right. So, okay, well, I guess we should move on into our blacklist segment.
Yes. This week's, we decided to pick people we love to hate.
Ah.
Top three. Yes, top three people we love to hate.
Okay.
So, would you like me to go first? You want to go first?
Yeah, you can go first, because mine are really kind of out of the box a bit.
Okay. My number three is, speaking of queens, is Paris Dinard.
Oh, Lord, I didn't even think of that tramp. But he would totally be on my list.
Yes, I'm like, oh, God, you know. I just, I've seen him so, I haven't seen him recently, but I've seen him so many times on CNN.
He is so tiresome. Talking,
but just, I mean, a complete, to me, just seems like a complete Trump supporter. Whatever he does, he agrees with it. He likes it. He thinks it's fine. There's something wrong with it. And I just like, oh my God, I don't know if he's gay or not, but I assume he is just by his, you know.
I mean,
his mannerisms or whatever. But I thought, oh my God, you're gay. Well, I'm assuming you're gay and you're black.
Yeah.
And you're supporting this one. So.
Yeah, he gives me bitchy queen vibes on a deep level. Like, he makes Don Lemon look like a radical. And, you know, and Don, I'm not going to do Don like that. I will just say that because of Don's position, you know, he does have to have a certain amount of neutrality. And because he is, you know, he's a newscaster, he's not going to give you a whole lot of hood. Or street mannerisms, but Paris Dinard is, I feel like Paris Dinard has found the dungeon in the White House, and he's down there on a nightly basis like, daddy, how did I do? Did I do okay? You know, I feel like, oh gosh, yeah. No,
like, we'll let you out if you do better next time or something like that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you can bring Jesse Jackson around, we'll let you out this bitch. But yeah, some of the, I mean, I've seen Angela Rye slice him up many times. April Ryan has cut him up.
April Ryan, yeah.
April just, she has no time for the shit. Also, who's the bald-headed sister? I can't think of her name. I love her.
I know who you're talking about, but I don't remember her name.
Yeah, and then also, Cornel West got up in him one night, and I hollered. So, yeah, he is a worthy member of your list of black folk you love to hate. So my number three is not actually a proper noun, shall we say, but it is whoever knocked the hearing out of Halle Berry's ear.
What?
You know she's deaf in one ear.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, an ex-boyfriend. We don't. Who has not been officially named. Wesley Snipes said it wasn't him, although for a long time the word on the street was Wesley was the one that knocked the hearing out of her ear, because he slapped the hell out of her one night and she wasn't quite right after that. And I was like, that motherfucker. So I don't know if it was a brother, because it's the rumor has been allegedly that it was either allegedly Wesley Snipes or David Justice, who's like he used to play baseball for the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was that. That was the word on the street. And Wesley came out and said, it wasn't me. I don't know if David Justice ever did deny it. But the word was it was one of those two guys, and only one of them has hollered. So maybe he was a hit dog. Or he was like, look, just so I don't want no problems, it wasn't me. But I just said, damn. So yeah, whoever the hell that was that knocked the hearing out of Halle Berry's ear, I don't like that motherfucker.
Okay, I didn't even know that happened to her. I had no clue.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's not something that she talks about, but it's, you know, I think it's one of the reasons that's raggedy, so I'm not gonna be that raggedy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah, they were married at one point, and, you know, I was like, wow, it was a mess.
Poor thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so who is your number two? See, and yeah, I just opened up an article, and it said, it's like, whenever, they said, like, they divorced 24 years ago, but the rumors steered up by their acrimonious split continue to haunt the former Atlanta Braves All-Star. Quote, over the past 20 years, I've heard people saying, isn't that the dude that hit Halle Berry in the head? Unquote, he tells people. And, you know, apparently he's saying he didn't do it. And so, yeah, actually, no.
Okay.
Yeah, he has repeatedly denied hitting her. So, but actually, she says an ex-boyfriend caused the permanent hearing loss to her left ear. But she's never named him. So whoever that was, fuck him.
They're on your list.
They on the list. You number three, motherfucker.
Yes.
Who's your two?
My number two is Ben Carson.
Oh, Lord.
See?
Yeah.
Another one.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, you are a brain surgeon, but...
But just...
You know, you probably need some surgery or something. I don't know. It just was like...
Yeah, I just look at him, you know, at one point in time, before I became aware of his politics and his general lack of, I don't know what to call it, but I held him in high regard because he's a brain surgeon. He's a brother from the hood who, you know, worked his way up, and I was like, wow, like, you know, gifted hands. I even have a copy of the damn book. And to find out that he really, you know, the vision or the fantasy about him was far superior to the reality of him was quite disappointing. I mean, I never thought that he would be, this selective.
This shady or this whatever, I don't know what the word is, but.
Yeah, I mean, this selective in his amnesia, this.
Trifling.
I mean, like, you know, you grew up receiving public assistance and now you want to take it away from other people. And not only that, but you want to act like you never received it.
He wasn't on public assistance.
Yeah, I'm like, that's some bullshit. Ben, you need to... I was like, at the very least, as a service to your people, if you want to claim us at all, maybe the best thing you could have done is stay quiet about that shit, because then at least you had people growing up in projects and the like, you know, growing up in poverty, like, you know what, this guy actually was able to cut through a lot of bullshit that came his way, and he's now Dr. Ben Carson, world-renowned, you know, brain and neurosurgeon. But no, you had to fuck that up. You know, and I'm going to try to keep my pressure down. I don't want to get my pressure up over that motherfucker.
Down.
You know, I just can't do it. But Ben...
It's just sad because he's got to be a smart guy to be a brain surgeon.
Yeah.
You have to be.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, where's it going? Where did it go? Because I'm not seeing it anymore, you know, with these... Although he's been quiet lately, so...
He has. Well, and the thing about Ben Carson to me, whether he's... You know, obviously he has his lane. He just strikes me as this corny brother that doesn't know how to relate to a broader spectrum of people. Because when in the debates and stuff, he was kind of sitting there damn near looking like alfalfa. You know, it was just, not alfalfa. No, buckwheat. Buckwheat, child.
Yes.
Yeah, he was.
But I knew what you meant.
Yeah, I mean, he was just looking totally like, wow, what am I doing here? I can't believe I'm here. And I'm just like, again, Republican voters, he was your number three. Like, wow. You know, I mean, he started to slip further and further away from the center podium or lectern. But geez, he was like a top three candidate for y'all at one point. Oh, frightening. Because he doesn't know shit about anything besides brain surgery, seemingly.
Can you Can you imagine if we went from Barack to him? Like if he actually got, you know.
It wouldn't, you know, I thought for a while that we might end up with him because folks wanted to show that they weren't quote unquote racist, but they wanted.
Yes, that's exactly.
But they wanted their kind of black man in there. You know, because of course, because he, you know, he embraces Christianity so thoroughly. I think he's a Seventh-day Adventist, you know, but because he's a pretty conservative guy theologically, you know, they were willing to embrace him because they knew that they could control him, whether through his theology or otherwise. They were, you know, they weren't going to be able to. He wasn't going to be able to outsmart them from what they could see from the outside. Unlike, you know, Barack Obama basically was like, you know, fuck y'all, I'm smarter than all of you. So I don't need to listen to y'all. Not like this. You don't know what you're talking about. But I appreciate your input. You know, I feel like, you know, Obama really was like, y'all bitches can't touch me. You can't stroke my ear. You can't wash my jock. You know, you can't even suck my big toe. Why are you talking to me? I really feel like Barack was on that level. He didn't act like that, but he could have. He had the bonafides to go there with them folks, but... Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
You're number two.
Again, not a proper noun.
Okay.
I'm going to go with fuckboys.
Oh, just all of them just, in together.
Yes, as a group. Y'all motherfuckers need to grow up. Ugh. Making sisters' lives hell. Presenting yourself as something worth a damn and you ain't worth shit. Get it together. That also goes for that other brother that, you know, knocked the hearing out of Takesha's ear and Renee's ear and, you know, threatened to throw Shantae's baby down some stairs. You know, because she dared to question you and this other woman you knocked up while you were supposedly, you know, in love with and monogamous and faithful to her. You know, just, yeah, all that fuckboy shit. Just, step it up.
See, and I don't really have a whole lot of experience with that, so.
I have encountered a couple of fuckboys out in the wider world. That are on our team, and they a hot-ass mess. I think I definitely have been exposed to more stories about the ones that are kind of doing our sisters dirty.
Yeah, I've heard stories, yeah. But I have not experienced one personally. So
yeah, I had a quasi fuckboy experience, but I shut that shit down before it got too far out of hand. You know, I will say, in typical fuckboy style, the sex was off the chain.
See, that's
shit.
That's how you get hooked.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who? I just heard something the other day where somebody was talking about, you know, a woman, and this is a woman that said this. She said a woman will stay with a man if the dick is good, but she will not. She will stay with a man who ain't about shit if the dick is good. But she will not stay with a good man when the dick is lousy. And I said, I hope that's not the case. Cause you could.
I have a feeling that is, though.
It could be. And I said, sister, no. Even if it's an accurate statement, no. Cause I always feel like you can. I mean, there are raw talents that you just cannot impart. But you can certainly coach somebody on how to stimulate your body in different ways. But
I know, but
yeah, but the stroke game, a good stroke game is a good stroke game, you know.
Good. See, and that's the thing. That's how you get dickmatized.
That's it. You know, you get blinded by the dick and all the things that comes with it.
And they know that.
And they know.
That's why they can keep doing it.
That's it. If they know they can come home after they've been fucking up all day and dick you down, okay. And, you know,
now, it shouldn't be that way.
It shouldn't.
It is that way.
It's very much that way, and it shouldn't be that way. But it is, so okay. Yeah. But yeah, so in the immortal words of Dear Crystal of the Reed, say no to fuckboys. Just say no.
Yep.
Who's your number one? I have a feeling we have the same number one.
Is yours an actual person?
Uh-huh. It is a proper noun.
Okay. Well, mine, Well, mine is somebody that has a big could potentially or has had a really big influence on what our future could be like.
I figure we had the same one.
And this person's name is Clarence Thomas.
That is my number one as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially with these recent decisions that have come out, I'm like, oh, come on.
I hear that he's supposed to be the chief justice elect. Is that accurate?
I don't know about that.
Somebody said he was supposed to be the chief justice with Kennedy's retirement. I said, huh? I said, wait, what? It's like, I said, oh no. Yeah, I had to try to, you know, type quietly here because I know last week there was a lot of background noise of my fingers.
Yeah.
In the show, but
I don't know if his issue is the whole sexual harassment thing, and he's just still angry about that, and I don't know what it is, or if he was just always like this, and you know, I don't know. I didn't know him until the whole Anita Hill thing came up, you know, back in the 90s. Had no idea
who
he was.
I think a lot of folks didn't know who he was.
Yeah, and my impression is I just guess he's angry because of all that he went through, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I feel like if he was, in fact, angry about that, you know, it was just this whole idea of how dare, you know, people treat me this way. Because I'm sure, you know, as a high-powered attorney and a judge, you know, I have to think that he's quite salty about being questioned and having his shit called out. Because I'm sure he probably felt like even if he had done all those things, how dare anyone bring that shit up?
Bring it to the public.
Yeah. You know, it's like he's supposed to be above reproach on all that. And I'm like, nah, brother. I was like, Anita wasn't lying. But, you know, yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Oh, wow. Apparently, he just got there's another sexual assault that's been lodged against him. A second woman has come forward. And there is a campaign to impeach him that's looming.
And when did this other thing supposedly happen?
This article is dated February 20th of this year. So this is the first I've heard about this. You know, I think because there's so much bullshit going on that stuff like this totally gets lost.
Buried.
Yeah, it gets buried as soon as it happens. But if there is some sort of campaign to impeach him, it's not doing a whole lot. You know, there's been no real momentum. And actually, the Chief Justice right now is John Roberts, and he's not going anywhere.
No, he's a little too young, so he's not going.
Yeah, he's definitely on the younger side, and so I said, okay. See, I don't know who this second accuser is, but I said, okay. Wow. All right. Well, see, yet another reason to not like him. But I think for me, the reason that I dislike him is because it seems like he is so wrapped up in just being a conservative, and that it's just, I don't know. I mean, not all skin folk are, you know, are kin folk, as they say.
Well, that's true.
And I just felt like, geez, dude, can you show some slither? Like, it's just, ugh.
I mean, he must have always been like this, and just that, you know, now that he's been a Supreme Court justice, that we just see it. But otherwise, I don't know if he would have made it there, but it just seems so, I don't know. What president appointed him, do you know?
George W.
Or, okay, well,
or
yeah.
Was so it George?
You had to have.
Or was it Daddy Bush? It seems like he was put up, I think, in 91.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Was it 91?
Yeah, so it wasn't.
I think it was.
It was a while back. I mean, we're talking. Yeah, I don't think. I think it might have been. Could have been Daddy Bush.
I think it was Daddy HW. Bush. Yeah, he was appointed by Daddy Bush.
Okay.
Yeah. So, wow. Okay. Ooh.
Well,
so they replaced Thurgood Marshall with that motherfucker. Ugh.
I know, see?
This is why elections are important, people. Vote every chance you get.
Yes.
This is how this kind of shit happens. For us to lose Thurgood Marshall for this? And then we're, and now we're losing.
And then look what we're going to put in.
Thank you. I have they named any names yet?
No, but it's going to be scary no matter who it is.
Thank you. It's going to be real scary. But, you know, apparently there are allegations that Thomas did commit perjury during his confirmation hearings. So if he did, they can actually impeach him for that.
Okay, and then just put somebody else who's been doing the same thing he's doing. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he basically, he has been pretty literal in his interpretation of the Constitution. Never mind that when it was written, you know, they didn't envision the world we're in now. And it's not to say you just throw it all out, but geez, can you at least act like you're kind of up to par here or up to speed, or do you want a theocracy? Because it sounds like that's what the hell he wants, but he ain't.
Well, can he act like he's not, you know, 65 years back, you know?
Can any of them? I mean, in terms of how he potentially has treated women, but also, you know, all these calls for us returning to or living this biblical existence. I'm like, do y'all understand what that means? Like, you understand the Bible was written a long time ago? You kind of have to adapt as well as take it with a certain grain of salt. But these folks, they are just... These are the same people that are pushing for us to return to a biblical existence, but they want to have a fit about Islam and jihad. And I'm just like, but you do recognize the same things you're arguing against with them, you're advocating for with your religion. I was like, at least they try. I was like, y'all give lip service. You don't really actually try to live up to the statutes. But okay, I'm going to take my drawers out my ass. So that concludes our blacklist. Cause
yes, it does.
Because I didn't turn into a damn roster today. bastards. But okay. So, yeah. So, I don't know. Our main topic today is he got me a little punchy. I'm not even going to lie. I'm probably...
Tomorrow, it's not going to be fun for you then.
I know. It's supposed to be 103 tomorrow. I said, 100 what? Yeah. But that's okay. I have plans to be in air-conditioned splendor tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah. So, our main topic today, we will be talking about dating up and dating down. Those yes. wonderful little things. So I guess the opening question would be, have you ever found yourself dating up or dating down in, from your perspective?
I actually don't think so. I mean, I guess I would have to think about it. Mm-hmm. I think I've been pretty good at finding somebody that is quote unquote on the same level as me. Not that I'm on this high, super high level, mm-hmm. by the way, but I'm just, you know.
Yeah, I would say you're so on a pretty high level, though.
Well, maybe this is my turn to give myself low grades or low scores.
It's possible. Well, I think, but it's also a matter of what are the criteria that you're using to evaluate your level, so to speak. I think if you look at it in terms of material stuff and wealth, then potentially, you know, you're not at the highest level. You're not in a mansion. But I would say in terms of character and integrity and all the other stuff, you know, you're quite a phenomenal catch.
Well,
so,
well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I you trust too now, you. Don't.
Because, you know, I'm slow to trust. So, yeah.
Okay.
But you were saying, I didn't want to, I'm not supposed to be stepping all over your soliloquy, so you come with it. What you got?
I have to think back, but I just think, I mean, I suppose, I guess the time when, I don't know if it was, if you consider it dating, but when I was seeing the married guy, to me, you know, that was, I don't want to say that he was beneath me, you know what I mean? But he was not for me because he was still a married man, even though he was divorcing and, you know, they were going through this thing or whatever. I mean, it still didn't seem like, 'cause even if that wasn't happening, even if he was a single man, I don't know if, you know, he is like the right type of would have been the right type of person for me.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know if that's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on one level, he was good because, you know, he had a job. He was, you know, made sure his kids were okay.
Yeah.
Stayed with his wife until the kids were grown and all that kind of stuff. So, on one hand, that's a very good character for him, which is something that is important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as important back then. But,
well, I wonder then, when we talk about evaluating a guy in terms of dating them, what are the things that we kind of evaluate them on? What are those factors? I mean, obviously, we've talked about, or characters come up, financial stability, I guess, would be one thing,
yeah,
as opposed to that's wealth. What are some other factors that we look at? Particularly in making that decision about, oh, they're out of my league or I'm out of their league.
See, it's weird because when I guess the two things, if I were to decide if somebody was out of my league, if I was looking, the thing I think that would two things I know that I would make me feel that way for sure right off the bat is if they are like a supermodel and they're just, you know, gorgeous, chiseled, you know, all that kind of stuff, that right away was like, well, you're not gonna be interested in me.
Yeah.
And also if they are super wealthy.
Okay.
If they're super wealthy, I always think they're gonna want somebody that is wealthy, has been used to living in some kind of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not gonna be a newbie at, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those two things to me would make me feel like somebody was not, that I was out, they were out of my league is the way I would say it. I mean, the character, I don't even know if I would get to the character because I would, those two things right there would just make me like, well, they're not even, I mean.
Well, would it be an accurate statement then that is character not as, is it kind of a given that there's good character if they are wealthy then? Or is that something that we kind of consider, is character something that comes up a little later?
To me, it comes up later because that's when you get to know the person.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're dating them and you see them and you hang out and do whatever, that's, I think, when you get to see their character.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about it in terms of the inferences that we make about someone. 'Cause I think sometimes when I see, you know, if I see someone who's very attractive and they strike me as kind of aloof, I guess is a good way to put it, or just a little too into themselves, and I'm just like, oh, see, you know, this person probably, you know, just has no one's good enough for them at all. They're just not a very nice person, and all these other things that you could then put on that person simply because you're just like, oh, he thinks he's all that. I do think that the character thing is something that we don't assign a hard value to until we get to know someone. But I do think that unless we see some indicators, if someone is aesthetically pleasing, has a good aura, or they give us a good feeling about them, we do kind of ascribe more positive character traits to them.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Yeah, but I think that it's definitely, you know, the true rating of character comes later. But I definitely agree that, you know, financial stability and just having the resources to do something, you know, when you're dating someone, you're thinking about like, oh, well, this is a lifestyle that I lead right now, or that I aspire to live. Can they keep up? And will they get there? Even if I'm not there yet, you know, we're always thinking about, well, what do I want my life to look like? And
yeah,
can this person fit? And sometimes it's not clear that they'll fit. And I think that that is an issue. It's funny because I've, you know, as we've probably talked about previously, I've often had the experience of people saying that I'm very intimidating and they don't approach me and all these other things. And
I remember you saying that.
And I may in fact have resting bitch face. It's possible. That could be a factor, you know. It's in the eye of the beholder, I guess. But there are other times where it's just like this whole idea of the way I carry myself, the way I speak, that folks are just like, oh, you're out of my league. And I'm like, since when?
Probably the way you speak, I could probably see people thinking that.
Yeah, I mean, if you catch me in certain contexts, then yeah, I'm, you know, I'm in that mode. And so it's like, okay. But I think in my regular go about life, and I'm not on the clock, I'm not on my way to meet a client, I'm not with a client, I'm just my regular self with family, with friends, I would hope that I'm a bit more accessible and less intimidating in those situations. But I guess y'all could tell me about that more so than I can tell myself.
Yeah, but I think we know you. Think we know you so much now. So it would have to be somebody brand new. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. It is interesting. I mean, I think I've certainly had situations where I felt like I was dating up, because I would look at it from a material and wealth angle, and even. Not so much looks, because I'm not really into the pretty men, so that's very seldom been an issue in terms of me saying, ooh, I'm dating up. But, you know, when people have certain things that I still aspire to achieve, I do feel like, oh, maybe they're out of my league. Why would they want to be bothered with someone that doesn't have the stuff they have?
But what is that stuff, though?
Well, I mean, In past cases, it's been, you know, they've maybe had the home in the neighborhood that I was like, oh, I'd love to live there. Okay. Or it's been their business is more successful than mine was at the time. They're further along in their career. I mean, like the guy I was dating when I was an undergrad, you know, the divorced father, I felt like he was out of my league, but he snatched my ass and brought me on anyway. And yet, I mean, I learned a lot from that relationship, because that's kind of where I found my voice and my value on a certain level, where it's like, oh, I don't have to be quote unquote grateful that someone I think is out of my league has deemed me worthy of their interest. It's he very often communicated to me that he felt like I was out of his league. And I said, I don't know how the hell that's happening. I was like, I'm a raggedy broke ass student. And he's like, yeah, but that is that all you see? And I said, well, relative to you, yeah. And he was like, oh gosh, that's scary. And he's just,
well, he just didn't look at it from your point, you know, or
exactly.
Yeah, from your point of view. So
yeah, I mean, I would even argue at this point, looking back, and I even understood it at the time, that my view of myself in that relationship was quite dysfunctional and really unfair, because as he told me, I ignored all the stuff that drew him to me in the first place. You know, I met his son before I met him. And, you know, okay. His son, like, I was, you know, it was a barbecue in the park, and you know, he was part of the barbecue, but I didn't know who he was, and I was just looking over at him like I would sop him up with a biscuit. And I was just like, and I was like, who the fuck is that? Oh my God. You know, and the things I would do to him, but I didn't go talk to him, but his son tripped over me. And, you know, was like not entirely apologetic for it. And and so I was like, young man, and he was like, yes. I was like, sir, you just stepped all on my shoe. It's a white shoe. It's only its second outing. I now have to do something with this shoe. Can I get something other than a grunt from you? Like, can I get an excuse? You know, excuse me. Can I get a, I apologize?
Apologize? Yeah.
You don't have to call me sir. You know, I said, where are your people? And you know, and I guess, you know, his father saw, actually his mother overheard it. And his father saw it. And then she, you know, she kind of chimed in like, yeah, because I know I taught you better than that. You don't be stepping on people and grunting. You know? And I was like, you better listen to your mama. I said, what if I was some nut out on the street? You can't carry yourself that way in the world. And so
they don't think like that though.
No, they don't. I mean the kid was what, 6 at the time, but hey, never too early.
Exactly. And, start now.
Yeah, and I mean his mother actually really appreciated the way I handled that, and she was I am so sorry. I was like, so you didn't do anything. I was like, I know you taught him better. I was like, he just has to be reminded. And it's, for me, I feel like it's one thing to be like, you need to say excuse me. It's another to actually engage a child in a conversation and say, hey, you know, first of all, this is what happened. This is how I took it. You do owe me an apology for your behavior, accidental or not. That's like, because now, you know, you've damaged my property. And she was like, that's true, you know. And she's like, folks are so, she and I actually got into a lengthy conversation, just not about necessarily this, but just like at a certain point we're just sitting there kikiing and having a good time. Yeah. And then I could say I made the mistake of asking her who the hell that fine ass brother is over there. And you know, and she was like, oh, you like that? I said, ooh.
And it was her husband?
It was her ex-husband, yes.
Her ex-husband.
And the
okay,
father,
well, at least they were exes.
And the father of her child, yes. And so she's like, oh, I know him. You want to meet him? I was like, oh, girl, I don't know now. She's like, you'll be all right. Come on, let me introduce you. I was like, okay, I will be bold. I'll be brave today. And of course, my Macless ass rolled up with my, hi, my name is, you know, that's all I had to offer. I didn't have anything clever to say. At which point she was like, you know, this old school gentleman here had to school your son on some things. And I said, oh my God, I was just petrified. Like, okay, wait, sister, why you play me like that? You know, I didn't know.
Well, but she was telling the truth.
She was telling the truth. I mean, but I did. But, you know, I didn't realize that, first of all, that was their child. I knew it was hers. I didn't know it was his. And I was just like, how you going to bring me over to your husband to press up on him like this after I didn't say it that I was ready to sop him up with a biscuit? You know? And she was like, he my ex-husband child. This is my best friend. I said, oh, okay. She's like, you know, and then she was like, yeah, so in addition to schooling your son, he has some things he wanted to talk to you about.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, I looked at her like, you bitch. But the rest was
but
history.
But you felt he was out of your league?
That I did, yeah. I mean, and it was just really in terms of, like, looks and the fact that this guy is a father. It's like, you know, I'm still in undergrad. And this man is...
Oh, that's nothing to be ashamed about or feel bad about or feel...
No, but I felt like I was far too... I didn't feel like I was too young to date someone his age or as I perceived him, how old I perceived him to be. But I did feel like I was far too young to be dating somebody's father. because that meant that I could potentially become a stepfather, or that I have to be a parental figure of some kind. And I was like, whoa, that's really, I'm out of my depth there. And
okay, well, that part does make
sense.
And
I mean, and that's part of the whole idea of kind of dating in and out of your league. There are all these different characteristics of people that can take us in or out of someone's league and vice versa. And so that was my hang up. And we did talk about that on like our first date. And he basically was like, well, you know, I thought my ass was too old to date you. And I said, oh, well, no, I appreciate a more mature man. And, you know, you got about 10 years on me. That'll work.
10 years is nothing in the, I don't think 10 years is much in the gay world.
Well, it's not, but when you're only 20 to 30 is a good little leap. Especially when one of them is a parent. It just, in my mind, and again, it could be...
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly looking back in the grand scheme, I was probably doing too damn much in my head. Obviously, I was doing too much in my head because we were actually a pretty good fit, but we were also in very different stages of our lives, and that's really what broke us up.
Is this the one that wanted to go traveling?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the one that was living a high six-figure, low seven-figure life, whereas I was making about $6,000 a year as an undergrad. And
yeah, see, that's just a different different stage.
Yeah, well, but
you know
it
what
was,
I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, also when I met him, I had no idea he had money. I mean, he was wearing sweats and a T-shirt, and some, you know, and some Nikes. It was a picnic. It wasn't like he came in, you know, rocking a Brooks Brothers seersucker pair of shorts, you know, and a little, you know, stingy brim, and you know, he wasn't wearing all. He was just a brother in some black sweatpants and a black T-shirt, you know, with a damn cobra on the front of it. it was like a gold cobra, and I was sitting there, I was like, yeah, that snake thing. You ain't got no snakes at the house, do you? And he said, no, it's just, you know, I like black and gold. I said, okay. And he did.
You know, this kind of reminds me of what, again, I bring up the married guy. I don't know. I mean, I have a feeling that looking back, I have a feeling that he probably wanted more of a relationship with me than I wanted with him. But thinking back, so at the time that I, met him, I had just gotten my first car. Like, I had just bought it myself. It was my money that bought this car. You know, it wasn't any money from my parents or from my family or anything. So to me, I considered that to be my first car. And it was a little Toyota Tercel. You know, so for me, I was proud of my little car. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I showed it to him, He didn't rip it apart. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was a car. It looked fine. There was nothing. There were a few mechanical things wrong with it, but nothing huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember how he, in a way, kind of criticized the car for what it didn't have. You know, it didn't have, you know, like electronic doors. You know, door locks or windows that you could, you know, automatic windows and stuff like that. It was kind of an old school car. You know, you had to roll up and roll down the window.
Okay.
You know, it was that kind of car. And I realized that to him, that was a cheap car. You know, to him, it was a cheap car, even though to me, it was like, this is fabulous.
Yeah, because you paid for it.
Well, yeah, but he was at a different stage in his life where he, you know, he had cars that had all the bells and whistles that were available at the time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So just even things like that, to me, that's why I think a relationship, even let's say if it could have been a relationship, I don't think it would have worked, because I think there would have been more things like that. At every step, there would have been something like where I was felt good about it because it was new and it was mine and I paid for it and I was able to provide for myself, but that he would think, oh, well, this is crap because he's already been through that and you know, has moved on from the cheap stuff, so to speak. I mean, he wasn't super rich, but he was a successful person. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know. It just makes me think. Just your story just reminded me about that a little bit. Just like, you know what? Yeah, we're in very different places. And he was older. He was a lot older than me, but...
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, he probably... Well, I think he was probably... He was obviously into you, so he didn't necessarily look down on the car, but he was like, yeah, you know, you could be doing better than this, but, oh, I have to remember, you're young and you're just starting out.
Yeah, I literally had a job for 2 months before I got the car, so it wasn't like I had this, you know.
Yeah.
He was just looking at it from his perspective and not necessarily a perspective of a person who was, you know, much younger than he was and was really just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't look at it from that point of view.
Yeah, I guess, you know, when you think about it, it really comes back to this idea of knowing... You know, from the first episode we recorded, it was about know your worth and, you know, know your value. And I think that it is interesting. We're always so self-conscious about who we are and where we measure up in terms of our expectations for ourselves. Also in terms of our any goals that we've set for ourselves. Where are we? Are we there yet? And I think we're much more apt to be okay with the process of getting there until we encounter someone that we're interested in who's already there. And then all of a sudden it's like, they're there and I'm not. That has been my experience. And I think also in the instances where I've dated guys that have quote unquote been beneath me in their minds. And I've always been like, but okay, I didn't know all that. It's not a deal breaker for me that, you know, you work part-time in retail. You know, that you're still a student. Actually, that's a deal breaker because I don't want anybody that young. I have dated students that were older than me, though. And even him, I said to him, I was like, you know, I'm not really that pressed about you still being a student. You know, but throughout the time that we were dating and getting to know one another, it was really an issue for him until he finally really brought it up one night and just kind of shared his anxieties about it. And I had to say to him, I said, you know, I've been in your situation. So if there's something that I want to do and it's out of your price range, you know, I will just, and I know it's beyond your price range, I will just save it for a gift if I must do it.
Yeah.
Or I will just wait until you have finished school and you can afford to contribute what it is you think you should be contributing to make this happen. And I just remember him saying, you do that? And I said, yeah, I would do that. I said, you know, If I'm with you and I want to experience these things with you, then yeah. And if you're not comfortable with me paying for everything because I want to do this, then it's not going to be a good experience for either one of us, because I'm sitting there wondering, am I stampeding and steamrolling this guy? Is he really having a good time? And after a certain point, I'm just like, well, is he basically with me for what I can do for him, even though he said that he's uncomfortable about the fact that I make more money than him. It's interesting. But I think we all have these anxieties.
We do.
Yeah, I mean, in the relationships that we have. And yeah, because I think even, yeah, I hear from a lot of people where they're like, oh yeah, you know, I'm with so-and-so. And I'll ask a question like, how do you two fit together? Because I'm not necessarily seeing it, and I'm not supposed to see it.
But, yeah.
But just this whole idea of what brought you two together. I see you together, and I see that it works, but I'm just wondering how you two came together. Because, you know, you look at some folks, and you can just tell how they got together. Like, oh, yeah. I could see you, you know, you ran into him in the coffee shop, blah, 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 you know, and it and you just snatched him up and said, "You mine." You know, right. I know several women that fit that bill, but I've also encountered some couples where I'm just like, "How you two get together?" Because I'm looking at your demeanors. Where did y'all even meet? Like, I can't see where your lives overlap. It's like, you know, and it is this whole thing of, I don't know if it's a dating up or dating down situation, but just ultimately how you fit and how did you come together and what keeps you together?
Yeah. I think what keeps you was really important.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can get together, but...
Because, I mean, I think you could be in different leagues, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But... Like with the example you gave, like if you're willing for somebody, like for them to get to a point where they can't afford it or they're at that same level, then, you know, that's a good thing. You wait for someone to build themselves up.
Yeah.
And so stuff like that to me, you know, if you're willing to stay together while that's going on, that's a good thing, actually.
Yeah, I just, you know, whenever I've heard someone say anything about, you know, me being out of their league, I try to remind them that I'm there for them and not their demographic. You know, it's like a thing where one relationship that I was in, I did ask him, well, no, he asked me, he's like, you know, do you know what drew me to you? And I said, and I answered the question, and my answers were completely wrong. My answers had nothing to do with my personality or my character. It was about the fact that I was of my ethnicity, the fact that I was a professional, and that I was out of the closet. And that relationship, at that point for me, was kind of doomed.
Oh.
Because I said, well, if that's all, like, we've been doing this now for 8 months. I'm confused. That's all?
Those are important things, but not...
They are, not, but it never moved beyond everything. That for him. Yeah, because I didn't, you know, that answer was definitely like, oh, it was a huge red flag. And so I followed up with the question of, okay, so what, you know, what is it now? And it was the same answers. And I said, oh, we've been doing this too long for that to be what's keeping you around. That is the biggest things that you enjoy about me. Are you serious? I have thrown some good shit on you in the bed. I would hope at least that would was make one of them. Yeah, there's something there would make the damn list. It's like maybe the fact that I make your ass laugh, the fact that I can cook, you know, the fact that I'm ready to cut a bitch on your behalf if you're not being a fuckboy. You know? It's just like, there are lots of other qualities about me that I would hope at this point are relevant. And instead, it was still about very topical shit. But okay. And at that point, I just said, yeah, this is... I was like, perhaps I am dating down at this point. Because I'm with someone that doesn't really seem to see me.
Doesn't see you.
Yeah, like you don't really see me beyond the initial shit, and you too old for that. You're far too old for that. You know, it's like, and it's funny because in hindsight, I heard some of the things that were important to him when he talked about me to other people. Like, you know, when you're out as a couple and you're interacting with other folks and, you know, they'll tell stories about you or things that you've experienced together. And you'll hear those qualities that I'm like, yes, okay, that is what I bring. I was wondering, you know, and you don't, but when the question is presented, you fall back to demographics like that. I didn't care what color he was. that wasn't a big deal to me. The thing for me initially is that, ooh, you're attractive. You're making my dick hard. I'm thinking really nasty things about you. I wonder what else is going on under that head of yours. What are you about? I was able to move well past all of that. Now, yes, as soon as he touched me, the dick got hard. But it also got hard during conversations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, it got hard when I saw the smile. I knew when we woke up what kind of morning it was going to be. And did I need to shower beforehand? Or should I just throw caution to the wind and just shower after? You know, how we starting a day? I mean, it's just the whole idea of learning your man. That was attractive to me. And all those wonderful quirks about him, and even the stuff I didn't like all that much, but I was willing to deal with, because that's just part of being in relationship with someone as an adult. I was able to articulate all that to him, but shit, all I got was, you know,
demographics.
Yeah, all I got was, you know, black, professional, and out. Okay.
You know, I was also thinking, I have a feeling that when I was younger, if somebody that, say, was out of my league, like, you know, above me, obviously, if mm-hmm. they were above me, so to speak, I have a feeling that if they were willing to, let's say, wait for me to get to their level, I have a feeling I would have screwed up that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Just being immature, or just being inexperienced or naive or ignorant of certain things, I think I would have screwed it up. I don't think I would have gotten to that point. You know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense. So.
No, totally. I think growing up it can be ugly. We can make some really fucked up mistakes in the process of growing up.
Yeah.
And it's hard for us to allow someone to see us in that space and get past our embarrassment and come back to them and be in relationship in that way. It's certainly one of the things that I struggle with a little bit, where it's just like, ooh, I really fucked up and I don't know if I can face him after doing that shit. You know, and you're just like, well, if you can't face him, who the hell are you going to face? It's so counterintuitive. And it's just like, dude, you know, he knows you're not perfect. And it's probably not even that big a deal in his eyes, this big mistake that you made. I mean, he's looking at you like, yeah, we're 15 years apart. I remember when I did that shit. We're 20 years apart. I remember when I did that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's like, I hate when they kind of, you know, try to sun you and kind of pat you on the back of your head like, oh, you'll be all right. You know, and it's like, no, I'm really fucked up over this. I need my man to support me right now. Help me get myself back together so I can participate in this with you, because I'm ready to run. So it was wild. But
were you ever one of those people that was like, I'm the baddest bitch, I'm the baddest one in here, or anything? Were you ever like that? I can't see it.
No, if anything, I'm the anti-baddest bitch.
See, me too.
As we learned last week, if we had forgotten, I am my own worst critic. So sometimes I'll look at something and be like, I don't know why this man is with me. Which is a horrible thing to say about yourself, by the way.
Yeah.
but sometimes your insecurities, they are gremlins that run amok. So
they keep coming back.
Yeah, they keep coming back, and that's the beauty of being in an affirmative relationship. It's whether you think you are the baddest bitch or you think you are, you know, the gum under somebody's, you know, stuck shoe. Between the treads in somebody's shoe, your partner is going to give you the reality check that's needed. And I mean, I've had my moments where I'm like, oh, I'm all that, you know, just because something turned out a certain way, you know. And I've actually been told in the past, like, you need to celebrate those moments when you when you work some shit, you know?
Yeah.
Don't mute that. Celebrate that shit, because I'm about to scream about it. You know? I had one boo that was just his ass. It was so thoroughly embarrassing, but he went around to several tables in a restaurant extolling my virtues, and I said, oh my God. No, you are not. Like, because I wouldn't, you know, I wasn't acting right. It was just really weird. I was like, okay, yeah, but you know, I still got to do this. And he's like, no, fuck that. You need to celebrate what has been done. Do you understand that? And I was like, well, it's, you know, he's like, no.
You're always like, trying to minimize it, it seems like.
Yeah, he's just like, and then he, you know, it was like after he thoroughly embarrassed me going around the table, around the restaurant, talking to folks, he did come back and say, you know, I really need you to understand how significant all this is. And how, you know, and how beautiful you are, because this is huge. And I said, well, I guess so. He's like, no. Fuck guessing so. Like, you know, and I just said, so, okay, well, I will try my best to adjust to that. So, yeah, I'm not. In my mind, I'm not a bad bitch. Yeah.
Okay. Me either.
Yeah, it's like, now, I may have some bad bitch behaviors and
tendencies.
Bad bitch tendencies and ways of being, but I don't claim that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever pop up with a t-shirt on saying I'm the baddest bitch. And if I do, trust that my tongue is firmly planted in my cheek. I'm probably gonna bust up laughing as soon as you see it and you've had enough time to read the shirt. So, yeah. But we have eclipsed that good hour mark.
We have.
Yeah, do we have any closing thoughts before we moved on? I feel like we could probably continue this one.
Yep, we always say that.
Yeah, we always say that. And maybe we'll get back to them.
We might.
Yeah, we might. You never know. But we still have about, what, a year and a half of topics listed?
I think so.
So, you know, you never know what we're going to come up with. Yeah. But, yeah, closing thoughts?
I would just say, be yourself.
Yeah.
I guess maybe don't be so caught up in whatever league you think you're in, or because I think that's probably held me back. You know, I've let too many things, what people are going to think, what people are going to say. And I mean, within reason. But I think, you know, don't let it hold you back. You know, if there's some guy you like and he might be better looking or have maybe further along in his life and has more stuff, a house and a car. I mean, I think if you like him, you know, go for it. You know, see what happens. You know, if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work. But at least you try. That's...
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think if I were to tie it up in a bow, I don't know if there is... I don't think there's necessarily a thing of dating up or down, per se. I think each of us were unique. We're all enough. And being yourself is being the baddest bitch you can be.
That's true.
Because there's no one else like you. And I think... if we all kind of discover and honor the best parts of ourselves and what we share with other people, there is no such thing as leagues and everything else. There are good fits or bad fits, and there are people that are going to honor, respect, and appreciate who you are and what you bring, and those that aren't. And the ones that will not or cannot, let their asses go. You ain't got time. So, yeah, the next time you come across that hot one, the aesthetics, you know, what they look like, the muscles, the build and all that, it might turn you on and you might find that to be highly valued or treasured, but understand that there's so much more to a person than that.
Yeah.
So if you are that one with love handles and the gut then fell over, blah, 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 there's somebody out there that looks at you and says, oh my God, he or she is so fucking hot. There's no way I get him. And you sitting there saying, I'm too fat for anybody to want to fuck me. And y'all are talking about the same person. So just let that marinate. Accept yourself, love yourself, and you will be just fine. And whoever you spend your time with, make sure they accept, respect, and love you as well. Because fuck all the dumb shit.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So shall we move it on?
We shall move on.
Okay. I think we're about 20 minutes behind schedule, but such is life.
Yep.
All righty. So, Ask Your Barista. This week, we have Miss Janine. That's the name I'm going to give her. She is thinking about, she is having a pity party. And I think we might need to come in and bust that shit up. All right.
Okay.
She says, "Hey, guys, I think I need some love. It may be an ass whooping for feeling so sorry for myself. Here's the deal. I'm pretty close to giving up on dating. For the last 6 months, I've been seeing these guys who I didn't feel it for them, or they've professed their love after 2 or 3 dates. And she's like, and you know, that's crazy. I love it. She said, that's foolishness. I will use her words. She's like, and that's foolishness. She says she's also found interesting guys, and they've been exchanging emails and getting to the phone call stage, and then they ghost her. And she's like, she says, I've read everything I can on dating and dating advice that I could find, but I'm just at a loss. I don't know how to turn this around. Is there something that I'm not seeing or about myself that's not keeping these men's interests, particularly the ones that I'm interested in?" She's like, "And what is it about me that only attracts the guys that I just want to ghost my damn self? And then how do you find a guy that's ready to take all the steps in due time, as opposed to just on the second date professing your love?" Which she says is just a ploy to get in her panties. Highly likely, sister.
Yeah,
highly likely.
I agree with that.
She says, "Any advice y'all could offer is greatly appreciated." And she does have a history. She's been separated for the last year. Emotionally, as she put it, she's been separated from her husband, ex-husband. They've been divorced for 4 years. Before that, they had a 2-year trial separation, which, you know, she was still throwing a little cat at him, you know, but yeah. And then when she stopped, she turned off the cat, the divorce got ugly. And she is a mom of a teen, but the kids are cool. The kids are self-sufficient. So she, you know, she doesn't have to worry about
that word. Too much about them, right?
Yeah, she's not really, they're not really an issue. So I'm guessing her child is probably late teens, certainly able to come home and put a hot pocket in the microwave and, you know, not burn down the house. Yeah, you know. So what are your thoughts from Miss Janine? Because she's about had it. She's like, fuck dating.
Well, I just think dating today, again, this is just from what I hear from other people, since I am married. But what I hear, it just sounds like everybody seems to be going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much. There's a lot of BS out there. There's a lot of flakes, and to me, the only way that I seem to hear of people getting through it or coming out the other side with a person that they like is just going through all the crap, you know. Weeding out the ones, you know, when, you know, if you've already had several that have said they love you on the second or third date, well, then that's a sign that they're not the ones then.
Yeah, that's fuckboy behavior.
Yeah, because after 2 or 3 dates, who says that after 2 or 3 dates?
Thank you. They might know that you the one, but they ain't supposed to tell you about it yet.
Yeah, it's a little too soon, I think, for them to be saying that. I mean, you don't say where you're meeting these guys at, so I don't know how you're meeting them. So I mean,
I think online, because she's saying, you know, they start out and they start emailing, you know, the guys that she's interested in. Yeah.
Gosh, the only thing I could think of is trying to change. I mean, I would say pick a different guy, but that, I think that's harder online. I'm going to stick with my original thing. You just got to work through these guys, you know, date them, get to know them as much as you can. And the ones that don't fit, you just got to, you know, kick to the curb. You know, I don't think it's going to be a quick fix. Maybe that's the, I mean, if you're looking for a person that's going to be with you, I'm assuming that you want them to be with you the rest, you know, rest of your life, then I think it's going to take time to find that person.
I
think that's my advice to her. I'm sure you have something better to say than I do.
Well, I don't know if it's better, but I would basically say, Janine, first of all, if you have a pretty clear idea of just the basic details of the man that you're looking for, that's a good starting point, because a lot of folks go out there looking and don't even have that. So they do fall for, you know, the shiny exterior with the bad engine under the hood. So if you have a good idea of what you're looking for, I would think looking, if you just analyzed your husband, your ex-husband, you know what excites you and also what the deal breakers are. That's your starting point. So I don't think you need to give up. The reality is dating nowadays, it's just some bullshit.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. So
it's crazy as hell. And I can tell you, I am currently on a dating hiatus because I have no fucks to give to the process at all. But if you are that woman that is ready to be out there and ready to go get your man, then you're going to have to go through some shit before you find him. And again, don't settle. You know, I'm sure that coming out of a divorce, there are probably some side effects and some scars that you still bear, but that doesn't mean you don't have any value. You do. Get back in touch with who you are and all the fabulousness that entails, and dating will be maybe that much more bearable or palatable. I won't say it'll be easy, but it'll be palatable. So don't give up.
Yeah, don't give up.
Get on out there in them streets. And you know what? Go about living your life. I think that he will show up. You just need to make sure that you're ready for him when he does. Because that would be the tragedy. If, you know, you have work that you need to do on yourself, and you haven't done it, and you're out there looking for the next guy, and it's going to end the way the relationship with the last guy did. If there are any things that you brought to that last relationship that ended up killing it. So do your work on yourself. Have fun. Be open to the fact that he may not look like what you want him to look like.
Yes.
He may not be in the industry that you want him to be in. He may not even have the demeanor that you want him to have. Maybe he's not as romantic as you'd like him to be. But if he loves you and will do what he needs to do for you, you got a good choice there. I'm not saying settle for some raggedy bullshit now, but I am saying don't be so selective. But yeah, girl, don't give up. You're still early in the game. You've done it once, you can do it again. But just approach it with some confidence and you'll be fine. Yeah, just don't settle for no shit. And keep your panties to yourself until it's time.
Until you're ready.
Now, if you want some sport dick, go and get you some sport dick. There's plenty of sport dick out there. But, you know, you have your own policy on how you run the panties. So if you are the one that's like, I need to sample the stick before, you know, I put my corn dog on it, then okay. Then you sample away. But if you like a little surprise and you like to keep it locked away, then you lock it away and be surprised later. But yeah, Sound. I'm going to leave you alone. Yeah. We're going to move on from Janine, and we're going to help a brother out now.
Yes. We're going to help Stevie out this time and help a brother out.
All right, Steve. What you got?
It's kind of a short one.
Okay.
So he starts out, his first question, or the first thing is it normal for a man, is it normal Uh-oh. For a man to watch porn all the time?
I know. Not necessarily.
So he says, my man is constantly watching porn every chance he gets. We still have sex, but not as frequently as I would like. As his porn watching increases, our sex life decreases. His excuses for not wanting more sex is that he is tired from work, etc. But he still manages to find a whole lot of time to watch porn. He is affectionate the few times we have sex, but other than that, it's pure porn. Is this what porn addiction is? And if so, how do I stop it?
Wow. Okay. So, Steve, yeah, there's some sticky wickets in there. I hesitate to necessarily diagnose a full-scale porn addiction. What I will say is that if your sex drive is higher than his and it's beyond having sex maybe two times a week, it may be necessary to supplement. I guess the question I have is, I know you said the more porn he watches, the less sex you guys have.
Yeah, as he said, it's decreasing. The amount of sex I'm having is decreasing.
Okay. So I'm wondering, is he masturbating while he's watching this porn? Is it a sexual outlet for him, or is it purely fantasy? Is it...
It's still bad, though. It's still bad if you'd rather jerk off than have sex.
I mean,
all the time.
Yeah, I mean, if he's watching all the time, I would venture to guess that there's something that he's getting from that porn that he's maybe not getting from his partner, and I don't know if it's something that he can reasonably expect from his partner. If he's watching and masturbating all the time, and he's basically declining to have, like, if you're approaching him for sex and he's telling you no, and then he clicks on some porn and starts to masturbate, then that's a problem.
That's a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem. If you're basically expecting him to initiate sex at the frequency that you want, that's not realistic. That's problematic, because you're not... If you know that you want sex more than he wants it, you need to ask for those extra sessions. You know, and it might be a thing of you guys really having a conversation and asking him, what are you getting from the porn? Like, what's there that's really driving you? Like, what are you getting out of this? Is it, if it's fantasy, is it part of a fantasy that you can actually participate in with him? To bring that
interest back to you.
Yeah, I mean, and these are the kind of questions that, you know, we need to look into getting the technology for people to call in. These follow-up questions are so important. But I would say, you know, you definitely want to find out what the porn means to him. You need to find out, is there anything sexually that he really wants you to do that you're not doing that he's able to see in the porn? And that's kind of fulfilling that need. If he's still having sex with you to meet a base level need for himself, then that is what it is. But if he's basically turning down sex with you and then flipping on the porn, that's a problem.
And then jacking off, yeah. That's
yeah. I think that's where you could say, okay, there could be an addiction there. There could be some sort of other issue. What are your thoughts on it? Because I know I've gone on a diatribe again.
No. I mean, yours... To me, I mean, I guess I'm certainly not in a position to say if it's addiction or not. So, it's a bad thing if, I mean, he's obviously, the boyfriend is obviously interested in sex. Otherwise, he would be watching all this porn.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not like I don't take that to mean he doesn't have a sex drive. He has a sex drive.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, to me, that's what's driving watching the porn.
Yeah.
I do agree with you that there's probably something that he's getting something out of that porn that he's not getting from you, from Stevie, from the letter writer. So he's not getting that. And it could be something he might be embarrassed about. Who knows? I mean, it could be just a kind of fetish thing he's got going on and he's embarrassed to tell you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I do agree. It's something that he's not getting. And he can only get it through this porn. And I do think you have to talk to him and try to find out what that is. Because then maybe it could be, like you suggested, it could be something that could integrate into their sex life. And that way it isn't just two separate things. It's one, you know, it could, you know, both of them doing something together rather than having their sex life decrease.
Yeah, that's just, I definitely think that it almost sounds like Steve has also kind of avoided the conversations that he needs to have. It's almost like he doesn't want to know the answer to the questions. Do you get that feel from reading his letter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you know, it's time to put on the big boy drawers or a thong or a jock or some chaps or whatever it may be. Baseball uniform, you know, whatever is working, however y'all get down. You need to put that on and really have that conversation. And more importantly, don't leave it for him to guess how you feel about his behavior. You need to tell him directly, hey, when you're doing this, I feel this way, you know, and make a request of him. You know, that's what they call good old nonviolent communication. Get your Rosenberg on. Which is a really effective way of communicating, but it can seem a little regimented at times. But I found it to be very helpful in relationships because you can get very emotional and defensive about stuff that's really bothering you because it's a lot of, you know, it's very personal. It's very private shit, you know, that he's in the middle of, and now he's making you feel a certain kind of way that you don't like. You need to communicate that to him without the accusations, but just saying, hey, when you're, this behavior is making me feel this way. So, yeah. That would be my suggestion to dear Steve. Yeah. Start investigating, and if you want to have more sex, be willing to get into a wider variety of activity, because that might be what he's looking for.
Yeah, that's why I said he might be embarrassed to bring up what he wants.
Yeah, yeah, maybe he wants you to put him like in a diaper and you know,
a sling or something.
Yeah, we'll go with the sling. That could probably be a little more appropriate. Yeah. But yeah, you know, if he's keeping sexual secrets, it's probably because he feels like he can't talk to you about it. So, but he needs to know if there's anyone he can talk to about it, it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's all I got. I could run on and on, but you're trying to honor our time limit. Yeah, so
well,
so if you have a question or a comment about the show, something you'd like us to add, you know, we encourage you to reach out to us. You can email us at sexualhealingpod@gmail.com. You can also reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter at PodSexual. But also, we haven't been doing this, so I'm going to take the opportunity to do this now. We invite you to share our show with your friends and people you think might find some interest in it. If you could, go on Apple Podcasts, give us a rating.
Yes.
We
four
like
five,
five stars.
Please.
Yeah, four and five. If you got a one star, whoa. As our other friends in the grassroots podcast community likes to say, if you got a one star, whoa, we don't need that. But maybe you can send us an email and tell us about some things that we can improve.
I was just going to say that.
So then you can come up to a four or five. Hold on to that. We don't need that one star. But I do believe I stole all the clothes, so I will hand it back to Dark Boy. Maybe there's something I didn't say. That was it? I'm so sorry. I was supposed to give you all that.
I mean,
some of that.
You could email us, you know, also with, you know, Help Your Brother Out questions.
Oh, yeah.
Know, to the sexualhealingpod@gmail.com email. That was all I had to say.
That was all? Okay.
That was it?
Yeah. I was like, but yeah, sorry guys. But thanks again for hanging out with us. We hope that there was some information there, particularly about, you know, taking a closer look at yourself and really finding the beauty and the completely awesome things about you, because they are there, and you probably take them for granted.
Yes.
So, yeah. So if your body don't look like what you want it to, not a big deal, because there's somebody out there that loves your body just as it is. So all those...
I agree with that.
Yeah, all the excuses and reasons, let them go. And I'm even talking to myself when I get back out there. I'm not dating no 45 supporter, though. I'm not doing it.
Right. That's one of those deal breakers we talked about.
Yeah, deal breaker. Because you can't justify that shit for me. I've heard plenty of, I can't do it.
That's another show.
That is another show. Okay. So, all right, y'all. Have a wonderful week. We know it's hump day.
Yeah.
But power through today, Thursday, and, you know, the end of work week is coming.
Yeah.
So enjoy. All right. So signing out for Doc Boy and Dr. Pookie. Y'all have a good one.
Yep. Till next time.
Till next time.